I always call you Dusty. Is it okay? Do you? How do you? Let's get it on the table here.
I welcome just being recognized. So, whatever you'd like to call me.
Dustin Buehr here, our new football coach, first year here at Northwood Football Weekly, here at Fricks on ESPN 100.9 FM. Coming up after Coach, we will have Bimba Tunkara to talk about the defense. This is a rare two-segment show for Coach tonight because we got a lot to talk about. It's your first show. Your nerves are clearly showing right now.
Sweating.
I mean, it is. Dude, just relax. I mean, I'm not going to.
Well, it's packed here.
And I'm just kidding. He's not nervous at all. So thanks to Brad Tunney for all his assistance with the setup and everything. So, Coach, it's been a – December was when you were named the head coach. And let's just kind of in general, like where you were then to where you are now, how have you liked how the team has progressed?
Yeah, well, let's take it back to December, all right?
December.
When I just, a big career decision, right?
Yeah, it was a big day. It was a big tough one for you.
I got to meet the guy to my left on my interview, and he was a selling point. We talked about him tackling better and using his arms and tackling, but other than that, I knew he was an aggressive physical player. But yeah, I think we're a lot different than where we were when we left spring ball end of April. And I think we had a lot to work on. We still have a lot to work on, but I think we're moving at least in the right direction with as a team, as a unit. I think guys are believing in the plan before having to see it come to fruition. And I think that's going to be the challenge is when we hit adverse situations, how are we going to handle that? That's hard to duplicate or replicate in practice without, when you're playing against people every day. But I think I'm expecting our guys to handle those situations a lot better than maybe in the past. I think it's good to be able to talk to them, too, and have them reflect on what didn't go well in the past for you, what didn't work for you. Let's identify it. Let's talk about it, and then let's work on it. So I do. I'm really pleased, and I'll tell you what, I'm enjoying being around this group every day and asking a lot out of them, and I think we are as a staff, and I think they're starting to expect a lot out of each other, which shows some growth in the right direction.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, though, is – Coach Haynes did his thing. You guys are going to do things differently, and your offense is going to be different than his. And so, like, the conditioning level, the expectation level, it's just different. So I knew you talked to me, before about how last spring you were like, I don't know if these guys are going to be ready. But then you said the other day you're pretty happy with where they are now.
Yeah, I think we just knew there was a lot of work to be done. We needed to add some more pieces to the puzzle that we knew were coming, but they weren't here yet during the end of spring. I wouldn't say we were the deepest team in any real position group in the spring. And now I think adding that depth provided more competition, and competition, either brings the best or the worst out in you. And I think it's brought out the best in our guys where you can't just coast and expect to earn something. You know what I mean? They actually have to come earn it every day. I think they push each other, and they're starting to learn that it's okay to be uncomfortable, and that's a great thing. I think that's the one thing, and Bimba would probably tell you that we're trying to improve on is, not everything's rainbows and butterflies. There's truth, and being able to identify what actually is happening, not just what we want to believe is happening, and that's how you can get better and improve.
Yeah, and it's obviously just doing all these things differently and building the program and how you want to do things. It's a lot of work, and I think – spring ball is always important, but I'm sure for you, this spring was maybe as important as any you're ever going to have as a head coach.
Yeah, I think the spring, yeah, absolutely. I would definitely say that. It's different where you take over a program where I had been, but I had been a part of that program for a long time and put your own tweaks on it, things you want to change and make your own, to coming in and essentially, identifying, okay, what's been going well, what works well. You don't have to blow up everything, but, blowing up things and doing them your way, and then you that gets met with resistance. And I don't even know if it's resistance necessarily, but people just don't know. You know what I mean? So getting into the repetition and, confidence is, doing things, having repeated experiences of success, right? So getting our guys confident and asking them to do more, and they've actually, I tell you what, I think training camp was different for them and what they expected. They had nobody in the program but 10 guys, 10 or 11 guys had been through a training camp with me before. So that made it unique. But I think once they understood what we were trying to accomplish, it was pretty fun to watch them come together and continue to grow close. The one thing that I'm not worried about with our team is being united. But I think the one thing that comes with being united is you got to still expect a lot out of one another. So,
yeah, that's a really interesting point. I think that's true. Is that like I think sometimes from an outside of team perspective, you think united, like you said, is all rainbows and fairy tales and dreams and stuff. But like being truly united is holding yourself accountable, being able to say, hey, man, that's not good enough. And it sounds like you're happy with the way that things are kind of evolving in that sense.
Yeah, we're progressing in a positive direction. I know we've had a couple meetings about that. And I think personally I've tried to do a better job of not – hey, if they're not noticing something that necessarily bothers me or I think is not beneficial to the team, I'm speaking up to help them identify things a little quicker. And then hopefully with that repetition they have the opportunity to continue to improve and identify those things.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man, that's the boss man here.
That was the most awkward handshake I've ever seen.
I'm stammering now and stuttering. Fist-pound handshake,
hey, listen,
slap it.
It's about a dealing with adversity.
So yeah, and we just dealt with that, and I was able to finish a sentence, I think, in English. So good thing we're at a business school now.
We're talking with Dustin Brewer here on Northwood Football Weekly on ESPN 100.9 FM. Well, let's talk a little bit about your background. You came here from Albion. You played there. You coached there. You were there basically forever. This is a hard question to ask without trying not to give anything away to the general public, but like what did you learn from that experience? How are you going to apply it here at Northwood? Let's go with that.
Yeah, I think being at a place like that and then my experience at Morehead State, you learn a lot of when you're younger as a coach, you just want to coach, right? But I think once I got further along and was like, you know, maybe I want more than just being a position coach or more than just coordinating. I never thought at the beginning I'd want to do more than that. I had unbelievable mentors, and Craig Rundle, who was the head coach at Albion when I was a student athlete, and then who I worked for, he demanded a lot out of people, and he didn't accept anything less than that. And I think there's times when you're young where it's hard to see that until you get older, and you're like, dang, that guy knew. He knew what he was talking about, knew what he was doing, and so you kind of blindly follow, like, hey, he knows the recipe for success. He was a successful coach. Dave Arnold is like a second dad to me also, it's been awesome being able to rekindle an old, like, you know, player-coach relationship where he can still – he's one of the reasons I took the job. You know, it was a scary deal to change, and when you have a comfortable situation, he pretty much – for lack of a better term, called me, why you can be comfortable the rest of your life or you can branch out and try something new and see if you're really about that life. And if it wasn't for him, I don't know if I'd be here right now without him being actually speaking the truth to me and then hanging the phone up on me on a cool December night that was really stressful in the Brewer household. So, unbelievable mentors with those guys. I had a guy named Paul Shadell who had been a Division I guy that coached for Bo Schembechler, and they were all different and very good in their own unique ways. But I had you know, Matt Ballard down at Morehead State was a coach that, he could command a room. He was unbelievable, his charisma. He had probably a real charismatic coach that I learned a lot about how to command a room in recruiting and in a meeting. And then, you know, hardworking guys that are now head coaches, that Rob Tenure is the head coach at Morehead State, Gary Dunn, who's the head coach at Cal PA. I was fortunate to work under some awesome guys that to learn from. So you kind of take away all the positive things and you blend it in together and what you think is successful. And then it's not just what I think. I think it's a big thing I've learned is, I think Coach Rundle was really good at this, was like the buck stops with you as a head coach, but it's a team thing within the coaching staff room as well. And bouncing ideas off each other to come to the best solution for all situations. So those are the things I picked up, you know. And I think the things that I always thought were really important was to be energetic even in bad times, you know. Not let the opponent know that the adversity that they've put you in is or you put yourself in is affecting you and is going to affect the way you play. So our guys have identified things they want to be known as. Some of those things are – you know, being resilient, you know, being selfless, which is a hard thing to do. Everyone says this day and age. It's not just this day and age. We just didn't have social media back in when I was in school and before that. So I think, being resilient and disciplined and selfless to me are three of the big ones that stick out to my mind that our players want to be known as. You know, energy, enthusiasm, you know, those guys, effort, those things are non-negotiables in our program. Trying to expect more out of one, out of yourself, number one, and always trying to go above and be a set standard. But you got to identify what are our standards and then hold yourself to that every day. And we're getting better and better at that, I think.
Well, I guess the other, like, I want to, like, you had 29-5 record in 5 years at Albion. What do you think were the things that led you have that level of success down there?
Well, you, number one, you identify and you recruit good players. You get players to buy into a shared vision. And I had an unbelievable staff there, like I have an unbelievable staff here. I think like a head coach is only as good as his coaching staff. And I don't care if you're, you know, Vince Lombardi. I'm sure he had pretty decent coaches around him as well, even though he's like a godfather of football, right? So it's about putting the right people around you and the right people around your players and then kind of pulling the right strings at the right time. And we had unbelievable players, and like we grew the culture. I think we had an issue my first year of handling adverse situations, so we practiced the heck out of those as best as we could to get the proper response in those situations. And then once you get those guys used to that and they start getting success in that, it's like, you know, you don't want to have the attitude the offense turns the ball over. Nobody wants that, right? Yeah. And the defense, it could be four plays after the defense was already on the field. Well, if I'm a defensive kid, we try to change the mindset like, oh, my gosh, here we go again. But I get to play football, right? I mean, that's what you're here to do, play football. So, you know, kind of flipping the mindset of those situations and embracing those situations, I think are really important. I think those are the things that we ended up doing at Albion. And, you know, like I have to swallow that the last game of my career, I obviously didn't do enough to help the team get in the right position to win that last game, and I wake up every day thinking about it, and I go to bed every night thinking about what I could have done different, and so I don't allow that to happen again, or, you know, try to identify what those issues were. And sometimes it's just not your day, but we did have a good run of success, and I hope to replicate that here in our own way up here at Northwood. So,
well, that's a great, you're after a great start.
Okay.
Or that's a solid opening quarter. Mm-hmm. We got like a probably a 10-0 lead.
Okay.
But we missed on one opportunity, so we're going to try and build on the next drive.
Yep.
We're going to take a break, come back. The second half, a.k.a. winning time, is coming up after the break, and we'll talk more specifically about this upcoming season with the Timberwolves.
Thank you.
Are you ready? Are you focused? Are you okay with that?
I'm focused. I'm ready to go.
You're going to take it one question at a time, not get ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, you know, it's just one play at a time.
Get 110%.
Yeah, 110%. We're going to give it everything we got.
Which is physically impossible. But anyway, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Coach Buehr, we'll be right back. This is Northwood Football Weekly on ESPN 100.9 FM. All weekly on ESPN 100.9 FM. Coach, are you saying Dr. Dre and Tupac gets you fired up?
That gets me going.
That was a moment there where you got real fired up when you heard that song.
Well, California Love never did anybody any harm.
No, it
did. So I really dug that opening.
I have done that song karaoke, but don't tell anybody. We're not live in the world.
I'll join
Tupac's
you one time.
Tupac's part is tough.
It is hard.
The other, but Dre's parts are easy. He's a little slower.
He's a little slower. Yeah, like that more methodical approach, and he's like a West Coast pocket passer that you know, dink
and
dunk
it.
Yes,
100%. Sacramento, where you at? Okay, so we're back here, Northwood Football Weekly. Now let's talk about the team this year in general. Big game Thursday, first Division II game in the country. I've been telling everybody I know that.
Is it?
It is.
If
you go to NCAA.com and look at the Division II schedule, the first game listed is Northwood Glenville.
It's too bad that game in Ireland wasn't the only game in week zero, because we could say it was the first game in the country.
Yes, yeah, but it is the first Division II football game in the country. So let's talk. We'll start on the offensive side of the ball. That's your Albion teams had great defense too. Obviously, don't want to sell them short. But your teams, I'd say, probably primarily known for their big offense and the scores. Tell us about what fans should look to see from this football team without giving anything away to Glenville. In case
Man,
they're listening.
I do not want to. I'm sure they're dialing in down in West Virginia right now. This is going to sound cliche, but I think, you know, modern football is, people's goals are to, you know, defend every inch of the field, right? Horizontally, vertically. So you're going to see us get the ball on the perimeter. You'll see us bang it up on the inside. You'll see us take shots. Just good old fashioned American football style. But I think it should be exciting. Pace of play should be pretty exciting for fans. Sometimes it's exciting for an offense, and sometimes it's not as exciting for the defensive coordinator. But Coach Sweeney's used to being around me for a long time. So, and there's times like you play to your strength too in games, you know, if your defense is balling out and, you know, maybe you don't have to be as aggressive, but we want to have a score mentality at all times on offense. And We want to get a lot of different guys involved so they can't take just one weapon out of the game, that they have to deal with multiple people out there. And I do think we have some guys on the team that are going to make us a little more difficult to defend.
So if you were as the Woodbone offense here for years and years, they always talked about balance and 50-50. Is it really your goal 50-50, or is your sort of thing like whatever works is what we're going
to
do today?
Yeah, I've always had the, you know, I don't think you can go to the well too often, right? And so you'll do something until they stop it. And so I've been a part of wins where it was 400 and they wanted to stay too high, and it was 460 yards of rushing and 130 of passing. And I've been a part of games where it was 460 passing and 130 of rushing because they decided to take that away. I really don't care how we win a football game. It's about winning, and I don't think the team will care either. That's always the one thing that you worry about when a season starts, is making sure guys understand, like, hey, it might not be your time to shine at that given moment or that game, but your time's coming, and better be ready. So I think that's the beauty of this offense, is you might not see, like, one dominant figure, but you're going to see a lot of guys be able to contribute. And I know that's Coach Sweeney's way of doing things defensively with all the different packages that he runs as well.
So obviously we talk, you got quarterbacks that are back and everything. Mm-hmm. You got new guys there too. But really, sometimes we overthink football. If you're winning up front, you got a great chance to mm-hmm. win the game. And I think you guys have really kind of revamped that look, some new guys there and stuff. Mm-hmm. How do you think the O-line's been progressing it since you've been here?
Yeah, I think Coach Burton's done a heck of a job with those guys, getting them better. And I think the big thing is just, you know, as much as you can have a consistent voice in there coaching those guys, and, you know, and I've tried to not, like, I've been an O-line guy in my past too as well, so, you know, not stepping on his toes, but being able to help give him a second set of eyes. And sometimes we'll rewatch the film together and just run things off each other's brains and things like that. And some kind of kids can come up and watch film with me or him, which helps the operation out, right? But I do think, like, Mitch Umlor has had a great training camp. You know, I know one thing, our guys are sick of banging against each other at practice. And the hardest thing going into your first game, especially after a long training camp like we had this year, was 3 weeks, is keeping them focused on the present, not just look ahead of the game, even though I understand why they feel that way, right, without a scrimmage or anything against somebody else. So, but Mitch Umler's had a great training camp. Gavin Wisniewski's come a long, long way. We got two guys battling it out at center. Riley Smolar is coming off a little bit of an injury right now, but he's gonna make us better, transferred in from Northern Michigan in the spring. Ty Mead is a true freshman that is physically very capable of doing it, and he has his freshman bumps in the road, but he's got a chance out of Indiana. He's going to be a good one. And then going over there, Kyle Main provides some stability. Like, he's a steady guy that you kind of expect a lot every day. You're going to get the same type of guy, which makes you feel good. And he's looking good at that guard spot after playing some tackle. And then going to Reese Peary, battling it out at the right tackle spot, and then Mike McCurr providing some depth, who's Mr. America, Captain America, Captain Northwood, Mike McCurr, Go Mad McCurr. So you have that. Other guys providing depth, a couple new guys, Scott Roskopf, Cam Webb, who transferred up here this fall. You know, Joey Goykaj has done a heck of a job of improving and moving Marek Okoniewski over to the tackle spot from D-line. So we're working out ways to be deep, and I think that's a position that it's physical, and guys get banged up and wore out, that you got to be able to play. You got to be 7-8 deep, or, you know, preferably 8 deep to go through a season. And I think if we do it right and able to get guys in the right spots during games, can save some wear and tear on the body so we can go for the, you know, without a bye week, you know, going for the duration of the season. So I'm excited about the guys up front, and then the physicality at tight end that we're starting to see. Dawson Leffler, Danny Krajewski, he's had a hell of a fall camp too as well. Does that count as a bad word? I apologize. Heck of a fall camp.
That's as far as you
can go. Yeah. He's had a great fall camp. My wife, if she was listening to this, would yell at me about that one. But he's had a great fall camp. And so I'm really excited to kind of see. And then seeing some guys step up, Blake Cozen's missed all of spring with a back injury, had back surgery. He's looking a little bit better. And then Luke Woodkey, we moved from running back, and I think he's got a really bright future at that position. I kind of count those guys. Those guys are essentially,
oh yeah,
they want to be O-linemen. So.
And I think probably for the returning O-linemen, that might be the group that has to adjust to the new faster-paced offense as much as anybody, because that's 25-yard play. You're asking those big dudes to sprint down the field and get there quick. That's probably as big of an adjustment as any group on the team.
Oh, man, there was a point in spring ball I was like, oh, my God, are we going to be able to run more than three plays in a row without burning? I thought we were going to need 30 timeouts. But I think, you know, it's a learning experience for everybody, and I think our guys identified and learned, like, oh, gosh, this is different, right? So I've been impressed and pleased with the growth of that unit, and we're showing we can move the ball on the ground, which we're going to have to do, and we have a couple different style running backs that are going to help us do that. I think each position on offense has just got a lot more depth than what we had coming out of spring.
Talk with Dusty Buehr here on Northwood Football Weekly on ESPN 100.9 FM. Coach, let's go to the defensive side of the ball. Bimba obviously is a big part of what you got coming forward.
You heard of him?
I have heard of him.
Okay.
Yep. He's number zero now. That's going to throw me off.
Agent zero. I've always put our top defensive guy. I said, don't lose that number. That's the top. Agent zero on defense. It's got to be a dude.
The Northwood Gilbert Arenas.
There we go.
Yeah, agent zero. Your defense obviously is going to be a group that's obviously going to have some new names. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a real, much like everything else, a mixture of new faces, old faces and stuff. Talk about like how you viewed your defense and how they progressed.
Yeah, I think, you know, we run a lot of multiple different fronts and looks at teams. And so you can bring guys in, sub guys out. I do think the secondary is pretty deep right now. Ricky Pearson, Stevie Douglas, Cole Simpson, Ace Thomas, Davion Turner's had a great fall camp, and he really came on strong late in the spring. Say Tali provides some depth there. Say on Tali, Lee Williams, Marcus Trussell, guys who have improved remarkably from the spring, just growth mindset, and just it's fun to watch that happen. Gavin Wargle's a secondary guy that he's going to be on probably four core special teams, and he's going to give us everything he's got there. And I love that kid to death. He'd die for the Wolves, I think. Then you go to the linebacker spots. You got my man over here, Bimba. Dan Wins had a really improved from spring to fall right now. Dan can be really hard on himself, so it's just like, hey, clearing the mechanism and go out and let it rip. So Dan Wynn, Johnny Blands, he provides some depth. Jeremiah Major is a new add-on there. If we can get Connor Smith back from injury, that's going to provide some depth there. And on the outside, moving Majestic Dudley from the secondary to the Sam linebacker spot, it helps against teams that are going to be a little more physical in the run. And then you talk about our another one of our Jack linebacker spots where Obi Rickenstrick's had an unbelievable fall camp, and that young man, he's got a chance to be really special. So between Obi, Jack Murray, Jack Calicay, those three guys give us some different looks there to play pretty stout there on the edge. And then, on the inside, it's a lot of unknowns. I've seen great improvement out of Jaden Green, Brock Cook, Brandon Ross, down on the defensive line, and with some newcomers and, you know, Charlie Lovell, Newt, my man Newt, Cavante Fanning, Dwayne Leggett. So there's some new guys, some new faces up there as well that should provide some depth where we can be able to rotate a little bit and get the right guys in. But being able to get in and out of different looks should help with the depth there on the defensive line. So I'm excited. You know, Coach Sweeney does a great job, and I think they do a great job of getting guys excited to play football, buying into their system and owning their responsibilities in the system. And then I'm excited to watch it all come to fruition actually in a game.
Yeah, Thursday, 2 o'clock. Come on out, by
first
the way.
First D2 game I heard in the country.
Reliable source told you that.
Yep.
Or I did, one of the two.
So
then the other thing, we got to go three phases of the game. Offense, defense, special teams. And E.J. Arnold is one of my favorite people. I love him. E.J. Arnold is one of the best special team coaches in the country.
In the country.
And
don't tell everybody that.
But to have him back doing special teams again, mm-hmm. I mean, he helped our teams win more games in the past from what he did. And obviously, you've known him a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about, we could skip all the lovey-dovey crap.
We don't need to go back to 2001
The first meeting.
Brits. I don't need to go back there.
Yeah, but tell us about what you like and about your special teams this year.
And not to get lovey-dovey, but like when the opportunity came to get the Northwood job, I knew the one guy, without a doubt, beyond friendship that I wanted to keep was EJ. And I asked him immediately, you know, not knowing if he'd want to stay in the role that I was going to put him in because he'd been calling the offense, are you okay going back to special teams? He's like, I've been dying to go back to do special teams. And there's not many people who would love that role. Now, I think it's passed down in his bloodlines, you know, from his pops. But EJ's unbelievable with how he runs his group and his operation is detail-oriented. He's not afraid to use our best players on special teams and find ways for guys to find roles that are meaningful on the team. I do think that we should have some pretty decent special teams depth. You know, the one thing we can get Matt Paul being a little more consistent on his punting, it's in there. It's just getting him to buy into it. I think Max Gonos was our best offensive player in the spring, which is unfortunate. But now,
good for him, bad for
now,
us.
Yeah, but now I don't think that's necessarily the case anymore. And so, which is great when you have a kicker that's a weapon like that. And, you know, we got a long snapper in Jarrett Wagner that is very consistent. And then, you know, guys who want to be on it and not just want to be on it. I tell our team all the time, and the unique thing is, like, the defense coordinator here, Coach Sweeney, was my special teams coordinator before he became our defensive coordinator at Albion, and he got all the stuff from EJ and Joe Bonamago when he was at Central with him. So, you know, when you have guys who are detail-oriented and are passionate about it, guess what bleeds down to your players, and they're going to be passionate about it. And so the guys just need to realize that's going to win and lose us some games and win and hit in yardage. And to me, that is probably the most controllable a difference maker in a football game is winning on special teams.
Yeah, I look back on some of those old games where I'd see, like, the final stats and go, like, we got outgained, we had more turnovers, we had fewer first downs, and we won. And mm-hmm. the reason we won is because we made plays on special
Absolutely.
Teams. So Thursday, Glenville State, mm-hmm. obviously it's a whole – first game of the year is always the biggest crapshoot of them all. But what do you expect to see out of Glenville this Thursday?
I think you're going to see pretty good skill out of there. They have some skill on the perimeter. You know, you look at, you know – old film, and you do anything you can to try to scrounge up film. I'm sure they're doing the same thing on us, and, you know, a little different offensively. Do you watch Bucknell film? Do you watch Albion film? You know,
right.
Do you watch, you know, Flint Powers Catholic film from last year? Coach Burton was, or you know, do you watch Northwood film from last year? So I think it makes it a little unique. I do expect them to be very athletic. I expect them, just like us, that they, you know, the one thing I've learned at the Division II level, your roster can change up till the last minute, right? And so we didn't see that a lot at the Division III level. You kind of knew when there was some movement. So I'm expecting them to have new faces, new names. I think they do have some guys up front on the defensive line that can create a little bit of havoc and disorient the offense a little bit. I think their secondary has some athleticism as well. They got a quarterback who's 6'5", 255, 260, he's from Detroit Loyola kid, and he can sling it. He's got a strong arm. Just like us, I think we're going into the game, and a lot of it comes down to, and not to just be cliche, you know, who can make adjustments the quickest, who can adapt to the adjustments that are being made on the sideline, who can hang onto the football, who can create more turnovers and or not turn the ball over, and then winning on special teams, I think, are going to be really important. And we've got to expect our guys to come out and let it rip on them right away. And it's going to be unique. They've probably not played – many guys have played a game the same morning they've had class since high school. And I don't know, Bimba in Ohio, I don't doubt you'd even went to class on a Friday before you had a game on Friday night. So I know where I came from. In Deerfield, we watched, like, Jumanji on game day. So I can't even say, like, I really went on. But
academic background.
Yeah, academic. Yeah, that's probably why I wasn't a science major. But
you're a football coach.
Yeah, for sure. So I do think it's about, you know, who can start fast and then keep the pedal down and then control emotions, because it's the first game. And then obviously we want to make sure that whatever team, we want to have the least amount of foolish penalties. We want to limit those. And you watch football in week zero, a lot of turnovers, a lot of foolish penalties, and typically those teams are on the losing end.
Well, Coach, great. I'm going to say you did a great job.
I appreciate that.
This is going to be a
real. I think I can get better.
It's all about getting better. It's about adapting. Mm-hmm. It's about, we got to make adjustments. You talk about adjustments. We're going to adjust next week how we do some things.
I'm looking forward to everyone's feedback at Coach Buer on Twitter. Use it on DMs. Please don't go public with your hate. All right. I got thick skin, but I don't know if I can handle it publicly. I'm just like one of the college
kids. You're just another guy. You're just a person.
Just a regular old person.
You're just a regular old dude. Yeah. It's okay. Well, Coach, great job. Good luck Thursday, and we'll see you next week for the next show.
Go Wolves.
Go Timbies. Roll Timbies. We'll take a break. We'll come back with Bimba Tunkara. You're listening to Northwood Football Weekly on ESPN 100.9 FM. Northwood Football Weekly live on ESPN 100.9 FM. Our next guest is all-conference linebacker for Timbies last year. And I got to say, maybe best demeanor. Every time I see you, Bimba, you always seem to be happy, in a good mood, smiling. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. I think I always try to have a smile on my face and just have a good day. I mean, every day is a good day. So
that's a good answer. Bimba Tunkara, I should actually say your real name instead of Bimba, you from Parma Heights, Ohio. I always like to hear, how did you end up coming from Ohio up to Midland?
So the old defensive coordinator, Malin Luke, came to my school one day, and my teachers had good things about me, and we kept in contact, and he gave me an offer, and I actually had a cousin who played football at Saginaw, so I was kind of familiar with the GLIAC at the time and things like that, and it was a great opportunity. Came up on my visit in December, and I loved it, and the rest is history.
And you've had a very successful career. One of the other things I like to ask is, how do you think you compare as a football player when you first got here to today? Where do you think the biggest area of improvements have been?
I think just in every facet, college football is a lot different than high school football. I think I had to grow up a little bit, you know, playing in college football. So just getting bigger, stronger, and faster, playing harder, playing fast, you know, becoming smarter, and learning the game of football better. So just in every aspect possible, I think I'm a better football player.
I think one of the things that I always say about anybody who comes on, basketball, football, whatever, is the difference between playing hard in high school and playing hard in college. You think you play hard in high school, then you get to college, like, oh, I really wasn't playing that hard.
No, exactly, yeah. You're going against grown men every day, and they're coming to bring it every single play. And so just developing that mentality and just that you have to go hard every single play no matter what just makes you grow over time, you know, and just consistency and playing more football over the years. Like, the more you do something, the easier it gets.
So obviously you were here for a while with the old staff and then made it this year with the change with Dusty and everything. A lot of guys left, a lot of guys had opportunity to leave. I'm sure you thought about it. What made you decide to come back to Northwood?
You know, I really come to love Northwood and love the relationships that I've made at Northwood and created. And it just wouldn't be the same leaving those bonds and things. And we haven't been the most successful in the past, but there's nobody else I would rather win with than my teammates and classmates that I came in with. So, I mean, it was a no-brainer for me. I think I was staying no matter what happened.
We're talking with Bimba Tunkara here on Northwood Football Weekly on ESPN 100.9 FM. Is this your first time? I think this is your first time being interviewed.
This is my first time on the show.
Okay.
I'm excited.
Oh, good. I'm glad. You're doing a great job. So, obviously, with the change, things are a lot different than they have been in the past. And with all respect to Coach Haynes, we all love Coach Haynes, but just talk about how things are different and how things have evolved in this last year with now Dustin as head coach.
I mean, I think across the board, we just raised the level of expectation. You know, I think he expects a lot of us, and he expects us to expect to win, you know what I'm saying? And just creating our culture every day and deciding who we want to be. He always says today is the most important day of our lives, and you have to treat it like it's the most important day of your lives, most important day of the season. And so just trying to have that mentality every single day and pushing us to be our best selves every single day is just something that's kind of been – it's just different from the past. And it's something that we have really bought into or have owned, and we're excited for the year.
So, obviously, it's a different defensive coordinator, different defense in a lot of ways. Has your role changed, or is it kind of a similar thing? Or how do you think about that?
We play a different style of defense, I would say. So I have to play linebacker a little bit different, but he still lets me be me and play football hard and fast and try to be a playmaker as best as possible. But I think the best quality about the new defense is Coach Sweeney is just a mastermind back there. He just always knows what's coming, and he's putting us in the right position to make plays. And so we're excited for the season to come because we have a lot of playmakers on defense, and there's going to be a lot of names being called on Thursday afternoon. So,
if you had to describe what's the best part of your game, if somebody says, I'm Bimba, and what my best role, the best thing I do on the football field is?
I really like to hit people.
If you said I'm a linebacker and I don't like contact, you might not be a good football player, but I like that you're saying that you like to go hit people.
That's good. I think I really like to hit people. I like contact. There's a certain mentality you have to bring on defense, and Coach Sweeney has a thing where he says we're defending every blade of grass, and it's just a mentality, and it's something that we have owned as a defense, and so just kind of taking it as disrespect any yard that we're giving up, and so just hitting people and just playing hard-nosed football is just, I think that's the best quality of me and our defense.
Well, now, I mean, you're one of the veterans. You're really one of the leaders, I'm sure, people that really look to. I mean, last year was really you and Milan kind of were the two guys as the linebackers, but you're the veteran guy of that group here. Talk about how you've evolved as a leader as time has gone on here at Northwood.
Yeah, I would say it was kind of weird because for a long time, I came in during the COVID year, so I felt like we had, like, a lot more older guys than necessary. A lot more older guys just over the years that stayed with extra years of eligibility and things like that. And I think that I had to really take a big leap this past offseason and becoming a leader and becoming more vocal on the team. And just, I've always held myself to high standards as far as like the things I do off the field, on the field, the way I carry myself. But just having to, I think the biggest way I've grown is I can't have bad days. You know what I'm saying? I have to be an example for the team every single day to have a good day and have a good attitude no matter if I'm playing bad or if I'm playing good that day. So just in that aspect, continue trying to grow every single day and become a better leader every day and just bring the young guys along and create this family culture that we've been trying to bring on, especially with new guys coming in and guys leaving, just really getting to know each other and holding each other accountable and having that true family culture.
Well, and I know that's one of the things Coach was saying earlier about letting go of, like, mistakes and, like, just moving on to the next play. Because, I mean, we're all competitive people. We want to do well. And it's hard, easy to be hard on yourself, but you got to let it go right away.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you a really tough question with your coach sitting here.
I got you.
I think Dusty's pretty funny. And he probably makes you laugh,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he makes me laugh every day.
Okay, but do you have to fake laugh sometimes because he's the head coach?
I don't think so.
Okay, good.
I don't think I ever have to fake laugh. I think he always just knows what to say, and he has this funny punchline and things like that. And even like, I mean, he may not even know, but you know, he has his one-liners that the guys, you know, we carry on.
Oh, he's got some catchphrases. Yeah. I've noticed some catchphrases already.
So, no, I don't ever have to fake laugh with Coach B.
Okay, would you fake laugh at some point?
You know,
whatever the team needs.
No, because we believe in having the truth. So not everything's all sunshine and rainbow. So if it's a bad joke, you know, he just has to take that one to the chin.
I think sunshine and rainbows is a catchphrase at this point because he said it like three times. I said it once and you said it. So that'll be the sunshine and rainbows, the Northwood Football Weekly Show live on ESPN 100.9 FM. Last question I always ask everybody, Bimba, what's your major? What do you hope to do when you're done playing football?
So my major is healthcare administration and management here at Northwood. My parents are nurses, so I originally wanted to be a nurse, but here being a business school, it's not necessarily an option. But, I mean, I look to manage healthcare organizations when I'm done. Probably beginning in nursing homes or something of that case,
okay,
and then eventually branch off into hospitals and become leadership. You know, I've always viewed myself as a leader, and so I think getting into a leadership role of a hospital or something would be a dream job down the line.
Well, Bimba, you did a great job. I knew you would. I had no. So I'm going to be real honest. Sometimes I worry about some of these dudes that come on the show, but I had no worries about you. I knew you'd be great. So awesome job. Looking forward to a great season from you, and good luck Thursday.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
We'll take a break, come back, and wrap up the show. You're listening to Northwood Football Weekly live on ESPN 100.9 FM. Back, final segment here in Northwood Football Weekly. I'd like to give a shout-out to Kurt Buzzard here, the owner with Jeff Reckaway here. He brought out some apps here that myself and Bimba and Coach Buer are enjoying right now. Appreciate that. I'd like to also give a shout-out to My Michigan Health for sponsoring this year's Coaches Show. MyMichigan is a nonprofit health system headquartered here in Midland and is affiliated with Michigan Medicine, the healthcare division of the University of Michigan. And, of course, to our friends at Polecat, they've been a friend of sponsor of this show for years now. Polecat 18-hole championship course in Mount Pleasant just played there yesterday in an outing. Great shape. Thanks to Dan Pohl and all their support over the years over there. Saturday, I just defaulted to what I say all the time. Thursday's game is at 2 o'clock against Glenville State. If you can't make it out, free video. We got a wonderful new app through the Great Midwest Conference, the Great Midwest Digital Network. You can watch the games live on your computer. There's a new app that's awesome on your phone, Android or Apple device for your smart TVs. All the games are there. You can make Northwood your default team. It's really great. Excited for that. So 2 o'clock. All the webcasts are free, by the way, to watch the games. 2 o'clock here at Northwood. John, who's back in the studio, will be doing your play-by-play. Looking forward to hearing his call on Thursday at 2 o'clock here at Northwood. Thursday also is the opening day for the soccer programs as well. Northern Michigan hosts our men at noon. And the women's team is also playing on the same day as football. They play at 3 o'clock against Lewis. Stevie Shard, Mike Corhonen, both excited for their seasons this year. Should be good years for Northwood. Volleyball will open up on Friday up at Northern Michigan as well, which is like this men's soccer team. They'll play 4 matches this weekend. So once again, 2 o'clock at Hand Stadium, Glenville State. The first Division II football game in the country is right here in Midland. Come on out. Support your Timberwolves. It's going to be a fun, exciting season with a great group of guys and a great coaching staff. That's going to do it for tonight's show. I'd like to thank our guests, Dusty Buer, Mimba Tankara, and everyone for you listening, for Brad Tunney and John back in the studio. Thanks for all your help as well. We'll see you guys next Thursday. We'll be back on Thursday nights next week at 6 o'clock here for the show going forward. So this is the only Monday show. We'll be at 6 o'clock the rest of the year. I'd like to thank everybody for listening. This is Travis McCurdy signing off. Have a great night, everybody.